So time is an interesting thing, isn't it? We waste time. If someone was to say to me, what would you like for Christmas? I'd like a little bit more time. I would like to have begun the end of November, not the middle of December, to run around and do stuff. And so we sometimes wish that we had more time. Now, I'm going to read this to you. It says, imagine that there is a bank that credits your account every morning with $86,400. It carries over no balance from day to day, and every evening it deletes the part of the balance that you failed to use during the day. What would you do? Draw out every cent at the end of the day. Each one of us has such a bank. It's called time. Every morning, it credits you with 86,400 seconds. And every night, it writes off whatever you failed to invest wisely. It carries no balance. It allows no overdraft. Each day, it opens a new account for you. If you fail to use the day's deposit, you lose it. There's no going back. There's no drawing against tomorrow. You must live in the present. Isn't it amazing how long 1 minute of silence? You know, when you were a kid, why are you laughing? You're laughing at Noel? And I missed it. Noel, you're stealing time from me. Are you all right? Are you all right? Is your phone ringing?
Yeah.
Fiddle-dee-dee, and I didn't even hear it. Oh, my gosh. Rebecca, it's a good thing she's not here. She'd sign me up for a hearing aid at the end of the day. So, you know when you were a kid, and it was November 11th, and it was a minute of silence in school, it was like so long that you could not stop talking or looking around or fidgeting with something. So, depending on what end you're at, if you're trying to be quiet for that length of time, or something is waiting for your computer. My computer is so slow recently, and I just tap my fingers, and really it's only like a few seconds, but still it used to be 1 second, and now it's 6 seconds, if you know what I mean. And so the whole matter of time is so important to us. Unless you're doing something that you really like to do, then the time goes so very, very quickly. So, there's only 17 days till Christmas, and that means there's X number of hours. If we've got any math people in the place, you can figure that out, until we celebrate on December 25th, the birth of Jesus Christ. That means we only have approximately, you figure it out, minutes left to get everything done that we need to do before Christmas arrives. Buy presents, wrap those presents, parties to attend, people to visit. We only have so many minutes left. One moment is significant, but there is strategic nature in those moments, and it's called timing. Timing is important to everything that exists. You wouldn't go out and plant a tomato plant today because it's not the right time. You don't paint the outside of your house today because it's not the right time. If you have a swimming pool, you wouldn't go swimming today because it's not the right time. So there is a strategy to every activity. There's a right time. So I think that we would all agree that December, looking at that cookie tray back there, is not the right time to start a diet. Think about the importance of timing in sports. If the timing is off, the quarterback won't connect with his receiver in completion. I have come to kind of enjoy football because I have grandchildren that were involved in football. So I had to kind of learn it. I no longer feel give each team a ball and they'll stop fighting over it. I watch it. I don't make comments around certain people because that just, you know, why open your mouth and remove all doubt that you're don't know what they're doing. So I usually just sit quietly, but I do see that when that quarterback throws the ball and the receiver, it can just be a second off that they miss that ball. And so in every aspect of life, timing is very, very important. Think of timing in our everyday lives. If you've ever, anybody ever missed a flight? Because of a bridge is out, yeah, but if you've ever missed a flight, I've come close, and I am embarrassed to say I've come close a few times. I was in Bermuda with my good friend Mercia Randall, and we had lots of time. So I said, let's just go to this little restaurant over here, just across the causeway. We'll grab something to eat. We've got a couple hours. We'll come back. So we came back, and I said, oh, we've still got time. The flight didn't leave till 2. It was 1:30, so you've still got time. So they had this cute little shop. So I was in the shop, shopping casually, and all of a sudden we hear our names called over the loudspeaker. The doors are about to close for Joy Clark and Mercia Randall. You have 2 minutes to get on board. Well, of course, I did not freak, because if I ever want to be stranded in a place, Bermuda is the place I wouldn't mind being stranded in. But Merce just went, oh my gosh, and of course it was all my fault. I wanted to go to the restaurant. I wanted to do some shopping. So we ran like crazy, and we just got in as they were just, I'm not kidding you, closing the doors. And then the other time was when we went through security. I was with Faith and Rebecca. And Faith overstocked those little liquids that you're not supposed to bring. And so they were busy rooting through her stuff, saying, no, you can't take this. This is too much liquid. You can't take this. And so she's trying to negotiate with them about, well, I have this little bottle. That's my special makeup. Maybe I could pour some in, you know. You know, Faith. And so anyway, Rebecca says, well, I'm just going to go over here and get a coffee. So we get a coffee, and she gets a coffee, and then we wait for Faith, and we're strolling. We're not really strolling. We're briskly going. They had not called our names yet, though, so all was good. But we just get there, and the guy said, we are just about to close the door. He said, that would have been one expensive coffee. And then we tried to explain. No, no, it wasn't the coffee that made us late. It was her. And meanwhile, he's kind of pushing us through these doors. So timing is really, really important. Have you ever been delayed getting to work? Traffic's bad. You've got to get somewhere on time. And it's frustrating. And then as you get there, you hear on the radio or the news that there's just been this accident, that very place that you were in. I think most of us have been there, done that. And you realize, wow, Lord, I'm sorry for complaining about being late or missing that stoplight, because maybe you spared my life in the midst of it. You know, if you've got a small child that you're shopping, you turn their head for 1 second and they're just gone instantly. And things happen in a moment of time. We lived on Cannon Street, rented a little tiny apartment on Cannon Street. And there's so many great stories about that funny little place. But it had a little slanted driveway. And that slanted driveway led right out onto Cannon Street, traffic zooming by, but it had a gate. And the gate was nearly always closed. And Jeff, our son, when he was 2, he had a little hot dog that you rode on, you know, a little plastic toy that you rode on. And so he was zooming away right through, I don't know whether he went under, around, or over, but anyway, right past the gate and right on to oncoming traffic on Cannon Street. And a guy on a bicycle was riding his bike along Cannon Street, rode by, scooped him up as he rode by, and went over to the side. Timing of God, because he would have been killed. And timing is absolutely crucial and important, isn't it? I think sometimes we are, in about 20 minutes, you'll probably be checking your watch to see how much longer I'm going to go, because you've got places to go and people to see. But timing is so very, very important. So we need to be careful that we don't miss the miracle of Christmas because we're so busy and so caught up in things that have to get done. It's easy to get all wrapped up in the activity of the season, and we miss the miracle of Christmas. It would do us well to spend some moments, some time, thinking about the significance of the birth of Christ. Christmas would be richer for each one of us. So what I try and do is I try to read, at least through the month of December, the story of the birth of Christ in different translations in every gospel. I try to read things that keep me focused. I also try to read at least one book about Christmas, not a fiction book, but a study book about Christmas. And it just kind of helps me stay focused on who Christ is. And yes, I do like the fun of Santa. Don't shoot me. But I like it. It's just fun. Our kids have never believed in Santa. Probably because when Jeff went to school and told them kids there was no Easter Bunny, they pretty near killed him. But I like the fun of Santa. He's not the biggest thing. He's not. And when I hear songs about him, after the third one, I shut it off and say, Jesus, this is about you. This is about you. We have a birthday cake, and we sang happy birthday to Jesus, at least when the kids were younger. We used to light candles, and we'd sing happy birthday to Jesus. I read a story the other day about a young man who, a Bible teacher, and their family liked Santa as well. And so what his mom made him do was she made him, in order to focus on the reality of Christmas, she made him draw a little manger scene, and he drew it all out and colored it, and that was under the Christmas tree, and that was something that helped him stay focused. I remember when one of the grandchildren was over many years ago, they were into Spider-Man. In fact, they thought they were Spider-Man. They argued with me so much that if they pressed their wrist, web would shoot out. And so I let it go because some things aren't important. But they wanted, I have a manger scene set up, and they wanted Spider-Man to come into the manger scene. And I said, he can only come if he gets saved. And so Spider-Man got saved that evening in our home. But there are things that we can do, aren't there, that help us to stay focused on the real meaning of Christmas. And we have to spend some time doing that in order to stay focused. Galatians 4:4 is an incredible verse. And it says, when the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman under the law. When the time came, so at just the right moment, just the right moment, the miracle of the moment. There are miracles of moments in your life and my life. We just need to be a little more adjusted to them. And so Jesus came at just the right moment. As well as liking all that stuff, I do like what my friends call sentimental fluff movies. I realize that certain movies have all the same plot. They're just all the same. I watched one last night and I said, I think I've seen this. It's the same person in it. No, different movie, same actress. You know what movies I'm talking about. I will not desecrate their name. But if you watch them, even just a couple of them, one thing is the same in all of them. It's when and how they meet. The timing of how someone meets. When they walk out of a store, they bump into that person, or they drive their car up and it's that person unloading their suitcases, whatever. But it's all about timing. Even in the classics like Miracle on 34th Street, it wasn't by chance or coincidence that Kris Kringle was at the parade that day. Come on, right? He was there. The guy got drunk. I won't spoil it for you. But he was there that day at the right time. It's a Wonderful Life. Clarence the angel at the right time and the right place. He didn't just happen to be there. And then he takes George on this trip down memory lane of all the times that George was there pulling his brother. I won't wreck that for you either. But if you're not watching for it, we miss the importance of timing. And if we're not looking for it in our lives, we get caught up in the story. We get caught up in the hustle and bustle and the hurry. And our life can take on the fact that we are not looking for incredible moments. You are here today because God brought you here. Yes, it was your thought. You got dressed, all that kind of stuff. You did all that. But you're here, and God's timing is perfect for you this morning. God's timing. The songs that we sang this morning, we talked about being late. And you know that song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing? There's a line in it. Do you know the line about lateness? Late in time, behold him come. Do you all know that song? What the heck? You don't know that song? I should sing it for you. No, I'm just kidding. Late in time, behold him come. That doesn't mean, oh, we were late getting here. No. It means at the very end of time, the very strategic ending of time, God sent Jesus Christ as a babe in a manger at the very strategic moment in time. When the time came to completion, late in time, God sent his son. The miracle of the moment. When Christ came, most didn't recognize him as the Messiah. People were too busy to pay attention to a young girl giving birth to her first child in a stable in Bethlehem. But at just the right time in history, Christ was born. He didn't come into the world as a matter of chance or coincidence. His coming was part of God's divine plan. The Bible says, established before the foundation, before the world was completed, before God said, let there be. His plan was that at this moment in time, I'm going to send my son, Jesus Christ. I read this. Historians tell us that the Roman world was in great expectation, waiting for a deliverer at the time Jesus was born. The old religion was dying. The old philosophers were empty and powerless to change men's lives. Strange new mystery religions were invading the empire. Religious bankruptcy and spiritual hunger were everywhere. God was preparing the world for the arrival of his son. And from an historical perspective, the Roman Empire helped prepare the world for the birth of Jesus Christ. The Romans had constructed roads that connected city to city, making travel easier. All the roads ultimately led to Rome. The world was at peace under the Roman rule. Roman laws protected the citizens, and Roman soldiers guarded the peace. Thanks to both the Greek and Roman conquests, Latin and Greek were known across the empire, making communication possible with many from all over the world. The Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah were completed, and at just the right time, God sent his son. He came at just the right moment, and he provides at just the right moment. Many people will just be content going through the motions at Christmas time. They put up trees and busy themselves with a lot of activity, and they miss the miracle of Christmas. But some of us need a miracle. The good news is that God came to us, and he provides at just the right moment. Our God that we sang about this morning deserves our praise in the lowest valley and the highest mountain. Our God is an amazing God, and he makes provision for each one of us at just the right time. He's never late. I know sometimes it seems like that, but that's not his nature and that's not his character. Just the right time and just what we need. Listen to these things that talk a little bit about God's character. All the eyes look to you and you give them their food at a proper time. Psalm 104 says, all of them wait for you to give them their food at the right time. Deuteronomy 11, I will provide rain for your land in the proper time, the autumn and spring rains, and you will harvest grain, new wine, and oil. God knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you need. And at just the right time, he will provide what you need for the moment. His timing is always perfect. Can we trust his timing? Do we trust his timing in the area of our families, our finances, all of those things? When we pray and get in the presence of God, like we talked about, we find the promises of God that are true and that are sure for your life and my life. So God not only came at the right time in the form of Jesus Christ, he continues to come to us at the right time. Romans says, while we were still helpless, at the appointed time, Christ died for the ungodly. His birth, his death, his resurrection, and his coming again are all time sensitive. And when do you need a miracle? Well, you need a miracle when you can't do anything about it for yourself. When you run out of options and you have no more resources, you are in a position to receive a miracle from God. Miracles still happen to us, through us, because our God is a miracle-working God. Christmas is a miracle, an absolute miracle that a little baby would be born to be the Savior of the world. He has promised to come at just the right time, and he promised to provide just what you need for the moment. And when we're utterly helpless, Christ still comes to us today. And thirdly, he says, now is the right moment. It seems like we're always waiting for just the right moment, just the right time to do something, the right time to say something, to go somewhere, just the right time. Some people are waiting for just the right time to commit their lives to Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that today, God says, today is your day. This is your appointed time. Maybe it's not just, maybe you've done that. You've received Christ as your Savior. So maybe the appointed time today is to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sold out and radical and make that commitment for God. Today is the day to do that. Maybe you're waiting for the right time to make that commitment, for the right time to make Christ your Lord and Savior. Today is the right time if you have not done that. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, I heard you in an acceptable time, and I helped you in the day of salvation. Look, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. So if you haven't, or if you need to refresh your commitment, today is the day to do that. Jesus said in Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. One moment in time can determine someone's eternal destiny, because you are going to live forever. You are going to live forever because Christ created us as eternal beings. Not here, but you'll live forever in heaven, or you'll live forever in hell. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. And he's made provision for you and I so we can spend eternity with him. One moment in time. We have prayed with hundreds upon hundreds of people who have come to the altar and received Christ as their Savior. Their whole lives were changed because of their acceptance of Christ as Lord and Savior. One moment can determine your eternal destiny. The right time is today for a Christmas miracle for some of us. The right time. So he came at just the right moment. He provides at just the right moment. And he says, now is the right moment. So there's a miracle in the moment, and then there's the miracle in the message. So we're here on earth. Our lives are busy. We sometimes pursue our own agendas, but sometimes we're also just deaf to God's voice. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want for this situation? And so we don't always hear what God is trying to say to us. In my younger days, I took a course because I did a lot of singing of special music, and I wanted to use sign language in the midst of that. And so I took a little course on sign language and learning to sign. I didn't go very far in it, and speaking to someone who was hearing impaired was difficult, and I never did master the technique. I knew how to say Jesus and thank you and things like that, but I could never communicate fluently with them. And as I went through that, I thought of all the times that God seems to speak a different language than us. As you go through the Old Testament, you realize God tried to get through to Moses, to Joseph, to all of those people in the Old Testament. He was trying to give a message to them, but they were deaf to his voice. They didn't speak his language. And so the message that God wanted to give to you and I, he needed to do something about that. And what he did about that was that he sent Jesus Christ in order that we could hear the message clearly and properly. So the message of Christmas is a miracle. Hebrews 1:1-2 says, long ago God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and different ways. In these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. God had appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. And so God sent Jesus so that we could hear his voice, so he could communicate with us, so that we could understand. If you want to know what God is like, it's right here in the life of Jesus Christ. That's what God is like. God speaks through history. He's been speaking through history to reveal himself to us. He wants you to know him. He doesn't want to stay behind that dark curtain. He doesn't want to stay so that you have to go through somebody else to find God. He wants you to know him. He went to a lot of trouble for you to know him. He sent Jesus Christ. He reveals himself through creation, through the sunrise, sunset, through the sun, the moon. Creation, the Bible says, reveals God to each one of us. You remember he spoke to Moses in the burning bush. He spoke to the Israelites from the cloud of fire, or the pillar of fire and the cloud. He spoke to Elijah in a different way, in a still small voice. He spoke to Isaiah in a vision that he had about the temple. He spoke to Hosea through family circumstances. He spoke to Amos through a basket of summer fruit. He spoke to Jeremiah about the potter. All of these things, God was trying to get his people to know who he was. God even spoke the message through a donkey. And God is speaking his message through visions and dreams, angels, symbols, natural events, and many other means. There is no lack of variety to God speaking. If we can hear him, if we tune into him, we can hear the voice of God. It may not be an audible voice like your expectations might be. It might be through something that's said today in church. It might be through something you read in Scripture. It might be through a sign that a church has. But God speaks, and He wants you to hear. He does not want us to remain deaf to His voice. And so He's been speaking throughout history in a variety of places and ways in order to make Himself and His will known. Prior to the coming of Christ, there had been 400 years of silence. Wow. Not seconds, not minutes, but years of silence. 400 years after the last prophetic voice was given, God was silent. And then He sent Jesus Christ, His Son. Because time really isn't, I mean, you know what the Scripture talks about, time. It's small to God. It's big to us, but it's small to God. Then John the Baptist arrived, and all of a sudden, God began to breathe and began to speak again. The Old Testament was incomplete in its revelation of who God was. It was occasional and progressive, but none of them had the whole full picture. That's why we need the Old and we need the New Testament in order to know who God was. The Old Testament couldn't adequately capture the full picture of God's nature. You want to know, some people think God is a cruel God, but if you read about what Jesus did, there was no cruelty there. The only violent act He did was come against Satan. The only act of violence, if you want to call it, was make that whip and kick the money changers out of the temple. Because God's not a violent God. He's a just God, but He's not a violent God. He's a God who did all of this because, oh, how He loves us. How He loves us. So God had been speaking, but people weren't getting the message. They didn't understand God's heart or His plan, but He did speak through history. And then He speaks through Christ. Now, at last, God sent His Son to bring His message to us. The Lord Jesus Christ reveals God to us specifically and directly. Yes, He speaks to us through the words that Jesus spoke. That's His message, but He did more than that. Christ is the living, the divine Son of God. And He did more than just proclaim God's message. He is God's message. He came to reveal God, to make Him known to us in ways that we can understand. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact expression of His nature, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After making purifications for sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." When you read the Christmas story, John describes Him as the Word becoming flesh and living within us, amongst us. And if you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. That's what God is like. When Philip said, "We know You, show us the Father," Jesus said, "Have I been with you all this time without your knowing Me, Philip? The one who has seen Me has seen the Father. And I and the Father are one." So God speaks through history, He speaks through Christ, and He speaks through transformation. The miracle of the message is not just that God speaks to us through His Son, but that the message has power to transform our lives. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Got any transformed lives in the house today? Has God transformed you? Do you think differently now? Do you act differently now? Hopefully, yes. If not, you might want to question whether you've ever truly prayed and received Christ. Because when someone as powerful as God Almighty, through the power of the Holy Spirit, comes to live inside of you, you cannot help but change. If you surrender and give your life to Jesus Christ, you will be changed. You will be changed. So Christmas is a celebration of the greatest message ever proclaimed. God with us. He came so near so that we would draw near to him. 1 Timothy 2 says that Jesus gave his life a ransom for all. So the miracle of the message is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Jesus came so that God could reveal himself and his plan to us in a way that you and I could understand. Jesus came to proclaim God's message so that we can be set free from the sin that enslaves us and imprisons us and holds onto our lives. Why would he do that? Why bother? Why do you bother with all your Christmas decorating and your present giving? Someone said to me many years ago, they didn't like that I bought the children so many gifts. That person's no longer in our lives. Just saying that so that you know it's not one of our family. And they said to me that Christmas isn't about all these gifts and giving. And I said, but it is about giving. And it is about the gift. And I, one day I may not have, be in a position to give a whole lot of gifts. But this time, this Christmas, I was. And I loved so much that I wanted to give. God loved so much that he gave his son the very best. He didn't send an angel to walk around and tell us we need to know God. He sent his son with full knowledge that one day we would nail him to a cross. And you might say, well, I didn't do that. Yeah, every one of us did. It's our sin that did that. And no matter how good you might think you are, we were all sinners until we gave our life to Jesus Christ. And then we're not sinners anymore. We are bought back, redeemed. That is an awesome thing. And that's the message of Christmas. And that's what we have to proclaim to a world who is just like the first time Jesus came as a child, hungry, spiritually depleted, going through all kinds of religious stuff that makes no difference in their lives. You and I need to proclaim the message of Christmas and the miracle that there is in Christmas. He did it because he wanted us to know how much he loved us. He wanted us to know that he created you for a reason. And that reason, number one, is that you would know Christ and that you would love him. The message? We've been set free. You don't have to live as a prisoner of guilt and regret. I personally know what it's like to be incarcerated and to be in the back of a paddy wagon, being hauled off somewhere, screaming at the driver in a drunken stupor. I have my rights. He said, when you're in my paddy wagon, you don't have any rights. And that frightened me. But now I've given my rights to Jesus Christ. I've given my time, my timing to Christ. I don't have a right to my life. He has the right to my life. And never been a Harley take me this fast or this high as Jesus Christ. He's an awesome, amazing God. The Christmas message can change your life. In the midst of some not so great messages that you may have received, there's another message, because some of you have received messages about your kids. You've received messages about your grandchildren. You receive messages about your health that are not so great. But in the midst of that, the other message says, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not depth, nor heights, nor this, nor that, nor all of those things. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing can separate you. He says, trust in me with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, God says, acknowledge me and I will direct your path. I don't have a tattoo, but the odd time I still think about getting a tattoo, except my pain level is pretty high, pretty low maybe. And I'd like to get a tattoo on my foot, maybe a stick-on kind, that just says my steps are ordered by the Lord. Because we need to remember that the things we go through, the timings that we go through, if you are in Christ and Christ is in you, our steps are ordered by God because he loves us with such incredible, great, great love. The miracle of Christmas, the miracle in the moment, and the miracle of the message. God loves you and me. Are you listening? Believe the message that God speaks to you. He wants to. And if you believe that, your life will be forever changed. Scripture says, for unto us a son is given. Let's read that, Luke chapter 2. I've got some time, so I'm going to read the whole Christmas story this morning. I want you to look for the timing in this Luke chapter 2, the timing in this Christmas story. In fact, go home and read it again. If you've got a computer, read it in a few different translations, or if you've got a Bible that has a different translation, just take your time and read it over. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Remember the Roman roads that I talked about being built. That's why this was possible. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because, timing, there was no room for him in the inn. Now there was in the same country, just happened to be there, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, it might be a good time now to go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. All who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and saw as it was told to them. The miracle of Christmas. What a miracle. Do we ever get tired of it? Do we ever get tired of setting up our little manger scenes with the shepherds there? And yes, I put the wise men in the barn. Yes. Spider-Man's no longer there, by the way. Christmas miracle. A baby. I wouldn't have chosen to send a baby. A lot can happen in time to a baby. But God sent his son, his only begotten divine son, at the right time, at the right moment, at the right place. I don't know all of you here today. I don't want to make any assumptions. So maybe this morning you're thinking, I've never really invited Christ to come into my life. I've been in church, but I've never really said a prayer that said, God, come into my life. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I know I'm a sinner, and I'm asking you to take away my sin and come and live inside of me. That's what we call, that's what the Bible calls salvation, turning your life over to Jesus Christ. And then maybe there are some here who have just kind of slipped away, not even with the busyness of the time, but just over time. Maybe bitterness, unforgiveness, maybe some things have come into your life that is, maybe sickness, maybe finances has come in and you're started to worry about that stuff. Instead of saying, God, I commit my life to you. I commit this to you. On both sides, I know what I'm talking about. It's fresh because there's some things that we are going through as a family, Pastor Ace and I, that I have to say, God, I commit this to you. It might not be tattooed on my foot, but it's tattooed on my heart. Steps ordered by the Lord. Not to get in a hurry. Not to say, we have to do this. This has to happen. No, we just take our time and just wait on the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Father, this morning we are grateful for the gift that you gave. We are grateful for the Christmas miracle. We are grateful for the moment and the message of Christmas, God. We bless you. We thank you. We praise you this morning. You are awesome and amazing. And Father, this morning, if there is anyone in our presence today or hearing my voice this morning that has not yet embrace Jesus, has not yet said, God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I want you to come into my life. God, today, this time is right. This moment is the right time to receive Christ. This time is the right time to say, God, I've backslidden a little bit. I've gotten some stuff in my heart, in my life, and it's creating a blockage between you and I. And I ask you, Father, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would come into my life afresh today. I know that you're still there. I know you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. But Holy Spirit, today, I want to commit my life afresh to Jesus Christ. God, we give you praise this morning for the message of Christmas, for the message of the birth and the message of the cross. We're reminded today that one moment in time, you're coming again. One moment in time, you're coming again. one moment in time, in the twinkling of an eye, not even measurable time. In that twinkling of an eye, your word says that you're going to return and take believers home to you. God, we look forward to that, but we don't want to go alone. We want our family, our friends to come to heaven with us. And so, Father, we pray this morning. We love you. We bless you. Thanks, God, for Christmas. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll close with this song. And to pray with you this morning. And if you want to recommit your life to Christ, just come as we sing this song. Give your life afresh to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Comes again.